If you have a Bible, open up to Matthew chapter 2. If you do not have a Bible, there are some there, 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 and there, and someone will gladly throw one at you. Catch it. And we are in a series called Magi Week 2, and the premise of this series is threefold. One, it is a way for us to prepare ourselves for the birth of Jesus. It's an Advent kind of series. We believe in the church calendar, and there's appropriate steps we should take in setting ourselves up to honor the Lord in seasons. Step two, we hope to unpack the church core values, the bridge core values. So what are the values of this church? Last week we did two. This week we're going to do two. Next week we're going to do two. There are six core values to the bridge. Last week we went backwards. We said we need to journey in going backwards using Scripture as the very foundation. Christ at the center, Christ on the cross, Christ redeeming all of humanity, Christ raising from the dead. So we went backwards and we said Scripture is a key element to that core value. We also went, besides building on the past, we went reaching towards heaven. This is this idea that we are standing in between heaven and earth, and we are reaching up, asking God to both dwell in us and through us. This is where we highlight the ideas of prayer, where we idea the idea of worship. This is where this all comes from. And so we built on the past, we reached towards heaven, and this week we got two more. The third element of this series is individually, us identifying with how do I build on the past? Where has my journey been? What am I building on? Where for me am I reaching up towards heaven? There's the church calendar angle. There's the corporate angle, and then there's the individual angle, the personal angle, I should say. So this week, we have two directions, and we're going to kind of go in reverse order. You don't need to know this, but the core values are an acronym. I'm a junior high youth pastor at heart, and so everything's an acronym. Building on the past, reaching towards heaven. This morning, it's intentionally being transformed, intentionally transforming, and doing life together. So there's the I and the D, bridge, getting there. We've got a couple letters left. But we're going to reverse this morning. I'm going to do doing life together and then intentionally being transformed. So with that, let us read from Matthew chapter 2, the only account of the Magi. And from there, I got some fun thoughts. All right. Starting with verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Okay, so there's our scripture for the morning, and that's all we need to look at, because it says we came. That means there was more than one. It is my experience and observation that in society today, we are doing life by ourselves. We are very individualistic, we are very selfish, and we are fragmented away from community. I think that's why you have things like in Oakland, California. You can have a horrible incident of a rape take place with many people watching and not single one of them calls 911. They're so isolated from ever caring about someone else that they choose to step back. And I look at my own life and situation, and how many times am I caring about myself and watch an opportunity pass by and I just sit on the sidelines? Why? I only care about me. I'm just being honest. I'm trying to care for my wife, but half the time I'm like, you know what? A nap sounds really good right now. I know you got up four times last night, and those were extended stays, but I'm tired because I only got 7 hours of sleep and you got three, okay? So let's just divvy this up. I only care about me. My son's like, "Hey, can we play the matching game?" And I'm like, Bengals game, buddy. Come on. Tiger helmets, let's go. Get on board with my game plan. I want the world to serve me and my needs, and in the process of that, I get rid of everybody else. I think families are completely shattering because we are a selfish people. Can I get an amen to that? All right. I mean, it's not that we're bad people or horrible people, although we show do signs of that, you know. But I think it's just we've lost this idea of doing life with others. And so I'm picturing back east for the Magi. They're hunkering down. They're doing the star, and they're like, "Oh my goodness, can you believe this?" And they're like, we gotta go. We gotta do this. This is not hop in the car, we're gonna go visit Mount Rushmore, which I did one time at college. We just like, "Hey, it's Friday, what should we do? Let's go to Mount Rushmore." Yeah, okay, that makes sense. But here's the beauty of something like that. We hopped in the car. Like, I wasn't in my dorm room. Bored weekend. I'm going to go to... No way. That would be extra boring. But the idea of pulling people in, road trip time, is the best time. That's why I love mission trips, because it's this idea of I'm serving with others. And as I'm journeying with them, I mean, the acts we do are great, but it's the trip that changes me. You sit in a bus, 22 high school guys from here to Tijuana, Mexico, not only is it going to smell bad, because it will, but you have so many stories of this adventure. You know, I did a road trip with a bunch of middle. We had 72 middle schoolers and leaders, and we went to Atlanta to serve. And I made sure that every single stop we stopped at a Wendy's, just to see how long it take them to pick up. You know what? Every time they see me, they're like, "Hey, you remember when we went to Wendy's every single time on the way to Atlanta?" I'm like, "Yeah, that was pretty hilarious, wasn't it?" There's something about creating stories in movement in life together. My wife and I, we have stories. This past week, I went to Pella. I'm in a fantasy football league. I know we've already, you know, told me I have idols. It's all right. I'm winning my league. Just keep praying for it. It's the first time I've gone back there to hang out with this group of friends. And we sat at... a bar, as you do, and we were just hanging out, and it was amazing how we were just sharing stories of life about where this person's kids were and what's going on in church and what's happening in this, and we're just living life together at a table. And it's this idea that if I went there by myself, it'd be so boring. And I believe God wants to capture and rebirth life in us by having us journey together. I'm just watching these magi travel. We don't know if there was two or if there's 22. We always picture them as three because there's three gifts. Whether or not there were three magi, it never says. It doesn't matter. Did they have other people with them? I don't know. I just know it wasn't one who came. There was a journey of multiple that came. And I wonder if we're missing doing life together. We're missing these opportunities to have a better experience because we're only looking at ourselves. Here's an interesting thought. I think we've confused personal faith with individual faith. I believe we've confused personal faith with individual faith. Do you have a personal faith? Yes. Your relationship with Jesus is very personal, I hope. I hope it's so deeply embedded in you that you can't shake it, that you have a great conviction of who Jesus Christ is to you, Lord and Savior. But in the meantime, I think we've turned a personal faith into an individual faith where it's mine and mine alone, and you can have that. And we've isolated ourselves from a greater faith, a community of faith. Jesus came to give us all faith in himself. And so we are all connected some way, but we have isolated ourselves and became an individualistic faith where I take care of my needs and my quiet time, and we quit journeying together. Can I say we need to shoot for a personal faith that includes others? You know, in Scripture, John 15, it talks about, I am the vine, you are the branches. And I'm not very good at agricultural illustrations, but I do drive by a vineyard often. And somehow there's all of this interconnectedness of the branches, and their branches are interconnected through the vine. And so I believe, whether you like it or not, you are connected to the person next to you. And I think we've gotten this idea of like it's just me and the vine. Me and the vine. But its branches are plural. We need each other. We can't journey this road alone. Life was not meant to be lived alone. It is not good that you were alone, Adam. And Adam said, amen. Whoa, man. I wonder if we can get this idea that everywhere Jesus goes, community happens. Everywhere where Jesus invades earth, community happens. I think there's There's a part of Jesus' DNA where he is a part of the triune God, which in and of itself is community. And Jesus pulled himself out of that community and embedded himself on earth and formed community right away. That's why he called the disciples to him. He said, come follow me. Be a part of my group. It says he had the inner circle of three. John claims to be the best friend. No pride there. The one he loved the most, as he refers to himself. He had the 12. He had the 72. He had the approximate 120 in the upper room. He showed himself to over 500. Community, 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 community. How do we do life together? So I have a couple applications for us. Number one is simple. I believe it is absolutely vital to our faith to be in a growth group. To be in a group of believers who encourage us, pray for us, that we can share life with. So we have winter session growth groups starting up in January. And I would say one of the applications for you this morning is, you know what? I'm going to make a go for it. I'm going to try. But that's not the only way I think you could live this one out. I think serving together has huge benefits in doing life together. I'm amazed at how when we serve together, we just share natural stories. The upper room, the homeless shelter, that's where I met a lot of you, serving next to you, hearing your stories, hearing your banter, hearing you talk about the Hawkeyes. You know, it made me question your faith. No, I'm sorry. I can't let you in on this yet. Got this many details to figure out. But I believe we are, in January, we are going to announce three huge initiatives that cannot be done by an individual, or even 10. We need all of you to pull this stuff off. So here's my job as the lead pastor at the Bridge. I'm going to keep walking off cliffs, hoping that through Christ, you will keep helping the next step. And I hope you just jump right off with me. Because I'm confident if we quit risking it all, we're just holding down until Jesus comes. And I don't like sitting still. I got issues with that. I got in trouble a lot in school for that. I think, like, my leg would be kicking, you know, and the desk in front of me would be shaking, and the hand would go up, and I'd have to stand the rest of the class. But I couldn't stand still, so I was one of these, and sit back down, Marty. Yeah. Serving together. Here's another one. I think we need to regularly meet together on a Sunday morning.
Well, then how come you're canceling church on the 27th?
It's a good question. It's because we want you to have space to worship with your loved ones. And if you need a gathering of people to worship with on that Sunday, we encourage you, go to another church. But here's another idea with words. We are never alone when Christ is in us. Right? So there's always this with words idea. Another one is eating together. This past Friday night, we got together with some friends, and we ate a lot of bacon and other good things. And it was awesome because it's like the first time Toby and Lydia had stayed at their grandma and grandpa's in a long time. And we just live went to bed easy. We lost complete track time, and it was 11:30, and we're just, and like, I hadn't looked for a kid under my feet for, like, it was beautiful. But we're eating and sharing life together. And it was a wonderful thing. Last night, went over to some other friends, went sledding with friends. This idea of eating and just living life with others. Who have you gone out to eat with after a Bridge service recently? Can I encourage you? Like, try to make that happen. Just grab someone. I want to encourage, if we're going to Indian Hills in January. I don't know if you guys are up to speed on that, but we are starting a service up there. And one of the things I'm going to try to do is get names so that you can take college students out to eat because they have big bellies. And so what's it look like to eat together, live together? Let's move on. And I'm going to reread our scripture. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." What does it mean to come and worship him? You got all kinds of scholars giving all different kinds of ideas that the Magi were astrologists, that they were pagans, that they were far from God. But when, that could be true. But I'm a believer of bigger than that. They traveled to come and worship. And I wonder, Magi number one, sitting in his bed, pondering what all the stars mean. And could this really be a savior? Could this really be a king who can set me free? Could this really be one who is bigger than my reality? And inside his very soul, he starts to have some kind of transformation. It's a very personal moment. His friends, they're having it too. They're in community, and they travel to go and worship. And I think worship is laying it all down in front of the one you honor. And we're all worshipers. And so there's this, I believe there's something that happened that mysteriously brought these Magi to a saving faith. But even if I'm wrong, and they travel in vain, let me bring up this illustration. I think many of us accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we quit pursuing God. I know for me, my heart was broken. My life was in shambles before Christ. I was a depressed kid. Kid being college. Wrote poetry about committing suicide. Hated myself. Tried changing the images. Tried changing friends. Tried drinking. Tried partying. Tried to get a date. That didn't go so well. In this desperate pursuit to fill a void inside of me, I lost complete understanding of who I am, and then I met Christ. And something happened where I was drawn back to this idea of who I really was all along, a loved child of God, redeemed and sanctified, and all those big words from the Southern Baptist. Let me testify. And then there came a time where I just got content in that faith. I got content with where I was with Christ, and I didn't realize that all of who Jesus was not lighting me up, was not shining through me. And here's what I believe. Very nice illustration, right? So I believe inside I have a heart. We'll call it a spiritual heart. More profound than the ticker. And I start building, and I have had built up all kinds of walls around my heart. Some of them are big. Some of them are small. Some of them are significant. Some of them aren't. And my heart gets closed off. It becomes a dark place. And I become okay with it. Because I'm saved. I know Jesus set me free. And slowly, I lose sight of what freedom is. Let me bring this illustration in. Did you know there's a certain way to pick up stained glass windows?
There is.
I learned this morning. I wonder why they taught me. I wonder if we look at our hearts, and we know we're broken people, don't we? We are fractured. We've been let down. We've been beat up. I think of girls who've been abused by their parents, boys who have been abused by their parents. I think of kids who've been mocked. I think of coworkers that just slide comments in that just devastate us. I think of just being a middle schooler. And all of those things have broken us. And I believe Christ came, put us all back together, and he somehow reconnected us. And if you notice in stained glass, there's like the black lines that go around. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of the portion of the piece that lies in between the different panels of glass. And I would just say that's probably Christ's blood holding us all together. And we find saving faith. And we have a beautiful picture. It shows the marks of us being broken at one point. But then all of a sudden, we get hidden behind things in our past. The light that can shine through and make all the difference is hidden from us and hidden from the world. So it's business time. Oh, man, don't break this. I don't think many of you want to get closer to Jesus. And I know this because I know I don't. And I think a lot of you are just like me. I've heard it all before. I've been down this road before. And you know what? I'm okay. Jesus still loves me. But can I just say, I'm not going to kick these, but I really want to. We need to start tearing down the walls. I got three applications. Three responses. We're going to spend time. Worship team can go ahead and come up. As they do. I've been reading Genesis, and I got to share this. I think we have pains for all kinds of different reasons. And in Genesis chapter 23, 4. Or later, 25. You have Isaac. In verse 21, he prays to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. I think some of us are hurt because we can't have children. It's painful when you want something. And Isaac prayed. And I looked just a few chapters later. You have Esau and Jacob. I'm just gonna run with these for real quick. Jacob steals the blessing from Esau, and Esau is denied a blessing from his father. Some of you have never heard "I love you" from a dad. I love you from a mom. Some of you don't have a dad. Some of you don't have a mom. Some of you've been hurt and abused. I don't know what it is, but here's what I want. I want you to take care of some of that. And this morning, I want you to come up during the next song and pick up one of these blocks representing. For me, I hated being a middle child. Hated it. Middle children, say amen. I'll tell you what, older, younger. It hurt that it seemed like my parents played favorites. It hurt. I felt like I was left out. Can you take up that piece of the wall and just bring it to Christ? And if you need more prayer, head over there. Brandon and John will pray for you. For others of you, your marriage is rocky, in trouble. You've been divorced. You're thinking about divorce. You're not married. You're single. You're going to get married. I don't know what it is. We're bringing back the huppah. And the huppah is the covering of God. And my wife and I, we just want to pray over you. Under the huppah. And if you don't know what that is, we'll fill you in later. And thirdly, maybe some of you just need a father's blessing or a mother's blessing. Ed and Mary, they're going to be over there. And during this next song, I'm just going to invite you into those simple responses. And here's my guess. Many of you don't care to get up and physically demonstrate one of these. Stand up in front of people and admit that I'm broken. Stand up in front of people and admit my heart is hard. Stand up in front of people and acknowledge that I want more of Jesus. Stand up in front of people and admit that I am lost still. Stand up in front of people. I don't want to do that. But maybe. Maybe you will. Maybe there'll be a brief opportunity for Christ to step into your life, knock down the wall, shine in you in a new way, and you will experience freedom like you haven't experienced before. You can lay it down at the cross again and watch Christ die for it and raise it back to life in a whole new way and redeem it. And so that is my prayer for you. As we pray, Lord Jesus, I ask that you would bring things to mind that have separated us from you, that you would bring things to mind that are keeping us from knowing you more, that you would bring up elements of our past that show us how we are still so far from you. God, I pray that as people take steps of action, that you would birth something new in them, that you would shine your light in them, that you would penetrate our hearts, that we would be transformed, that our stories would not be our stories alone, but then that we would share them with others. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us now. Amen. Today is an opportunity to become more whole. And so I pray that you would take advantage of this opportunity to be free of things that are holding you back from knowing Christ more, that you would lay it down at the cross, that you would surrender it to God, that you would offer yourself out to a community that wants better for you through prayer, through intercession, through hope, through hugs, through the holding on of hands. So I am excited about what's taking place this morning. So may I offer this blessing in closing, and then if you still, there's 3 bricks left. Maybe you want to bring your shoe. I don't know if we run out of bricks. Don't miss this chance to get more of Jesus. Don't miss this chance. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would not be done with us yet. That in this moment, on this morning, you would not be done with us yet. Lord, I pray that the walls that block out the light of Jesus Christ, that block out the Spirit's transforming work, the walls that hold us captive to our fears, the walls that chain us to our past, that the walls that burden us would be broken down. And for some of us, those walls are deep and they are going to take more than a morning. But I pray that something would start today. Those of you who are in despair, hear these words. Jesus came to give you life and hope. Would you leave this morning knowing that someone is wanting to give you life and hope? Finally, Lord, I pray for us as a church that we would grow in community that loves one another, that grows with one another, that encourages one another, that confesses sin to one another, that offers grace to one another, that serves one another. And out of that gathering, Lord, a city and a county would be changed. That Christ would shine through us in such a way that people could not help but notice life in us. Blessings. Have a great week. Please drop your connector cards, tithe, offering, Bridge 101 meeting, receive prayer, See you next week.